With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. Wes Bradenhoff from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church is here with us. Wes, thank you for being here again.
Pleasure.
We are excited to take up today more subjects about the Bible, about the Christian faith, about theology. And if you ever have any questions you would like to email to us or would like us to take up any subjects, please send your emails to aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. Today we're going to take up the subject of suffering. Suffering in the Christian life. That's sort of an oxymoron to us today, Wes, because we're told that if we come to Christ, everything is going to get better. There is wealth and prosperity outlined for us. I have many preachers today telling us that. And if they're not getting that sort of response, well, they're not accessing it enough with their faith. How do we respond to that? What is the real reality of the Christian life?
Well, the real reality of the Christian life is quite a bit different. The real reality of the Christian life is reflected in the Psalms. You know, most of the Psalms, we often think of the Psalms, the book of Psalms, as being a book of praise. And indeed, the word in Hebrew for the Psalter is Tehillim, which means praises. But in reality, most of the Psalms are actually laments. And when we see the Psalms in connection with Christ, because Christ himself said that the Psalms speak about him, then we understand that Jesus Christ, his life was one of suffering. And we have union with Christ through faith. We are joined to him. Why would we expect anything different?
Right. We are privileged to partake of the sufferings of Christ. I mean, that's the language of Scripture. Obviously, we're not going to suffer in the way that he did.
No.
Because we're not suffering to pay for sin.
Mm-hmm.
But we are suffering in following our master as those who have his life manifested in our bodies, right?
Right. Well, even when it comes to something like persecution, he said, you know, that if they persecuted the prophets before and if they persecute the master, why would they not also persecute his servants? You can expect that being a Christian.
So suffering is a reality in the Christian life. It comes in many different ways. We are denying what we are modeling and actually have become when we sort of hide suffering as something terribly evil and yet not realizing it that, at least as the Apostle Paul saw it in Philippians, these are ways to glorify the Lord in our bodies, whether by life or by death, he would be magnified. It is through those sufferings, through much tribulation, through suffering, you will enter the kingdom of God. That's the message in the Bible.
That's right. I think today many people suffer from what we can call, an over-realized eschatology. That sounds a little bit technical, and it is. But what it basically means is that people want to bring what belongs to the age to come into this age. What belongs to the age to come is the fullness of glorification and sharing the glory of Christ and having perfect bodies and so on and so forth. And there are people who want to drag that into today. Well, the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible says there is this age, which is characterized by suffering, by being united to Christ and sharing in his sufferings, and then there is the age to come, which is the fullness of glorification. And I just want to read what Paul writes in Philippians 3. Paul says that his prayer is that he would know Christ, this is Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That very clearly speaks about sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And you know, we often think of this in reaction to the extreme forms of health and wealth gospel. But there have also been other variants of this in less extreme forms of the Christian faith. I just think of a few years ago, the prayer of Jabez, the popularity of that throughout Christendom reflects this sort of desire to have it all and have it now.
Right. Expand my territory, right? You can have it all, have it now, without the real recognition that you know, I was thinking about this, Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's one of my favorite passages.
Yeah.
I always reference it. The interesting thing about 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is that Paul himself, you would think this is a guy set apart to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He would need to be a guy unhindered, freed from anything that would hurt that cause. Well, what happens? He was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to literally torment him, lest he be exalted above measure, lest he start thinking that he was great and had these revelations and all these gifts by his own power and might. So what happens? He pleads with the Lord three times to remove it. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness."
Exactly.
"For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's that very character of the Christian life as we demonstrate and model that to the world, that the witness of Christ and his sufferings is evident. So it's a theology of the cross. Theology of glory, like you talked about, is all future, trying to bring that in. The theology of the cross is that we are following the path of our master. It is a way of suffering in the Christian life.
And that's, I think, too, why Paul insists in 1 Corinthians 2 that the preaching of Christian ministers and Christians in general is the preaching of Christ crucified.
Right.
We preach a crucified Christ.
Splinters and all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people have to understand that it is a theology of the cross to which we are called to believe in this age.
Yes, and proclaim that message of Christ impaled, the God impaling his son on the cross to save sinners. You know, I often think, we have such an approach to worship today that's very misleading. Mm-hmm. We walk in, we pump people up with praise songs for the first half hour, try to get them on spiritual highs. You mentioned the Psalms, Wes. You know, Paul, thorn in the flesh. The reality of people's lives is suffering. And so when we do that as a church, aren't we being a little dishonest about the real reality that God's people often face?
Right.
I mean, what are the psalmists? My God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like pumping him up with a praise song. It sounds like being honest about what we face as Christians and looking to the Lord for deliverance and strength to continue to show Christ living in us.
Exactly. You know, a couple of thoughts on that, Chris. In Ephesians and in Colossians, Paul encourages believers to sing the Psalms and to use the Psalms in encouraging one another. And like I mentioned, not all the Psalms are really upbeat. You know, some of them, you know, you read Psalm 88, for instance. It's the psalm of somebody who sounds like they're depressed. And quite honestly, you know, when we come to church on Sunday, there are brothers and sisters who are depressed. And I think John Piper mentions this in one of his books. He said, you know, "I've got people in my congregation who are experiencing difficulties in their marriage. I've got one person who's got cancer and another person who's got heart disease and another person who, you know, their child is dying and so on and so forth." And he says, shall we come to them with a joke?
Yeah.
Should we come to them with being flippant and pretending that the world is wonderful and everything is good? We have to be real. We have to be honest with life in this present age.
Not only is that a denial of the reality that's around us, but it's a denial of the fact that we follow Christ. It's a denial, like we said, of 1 Peter. I think of 1 Peter chapter 4. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings."
Right.
"That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." You see this language here. It's natural to us. We partake in his sufferings and be glad with exceeding joy when you have these things. With him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured what? The cross.
Exactly.
So we're partaking in that same path, not again to pay for sin, but as followers of him.
Right. And you know, just to go on in 1 Peter 5, at the end, verse 10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you."
You know, that's the reality.
Suffering in this life is but for a little while. We experience struggles with the devil, with the world, and even our own flesh. But in the end, there is glory. And it is the glory of Christ, which waits for us.
And you know, we don't always understand the reasons why the Lord sends certain trials and afflictions and sufferings down our path. We do know the sure promise of Romans chapter 8 that all things do work together for the good to those who love Him. We can be assured of that. We may not always understand why these particular things happen, but we know at the end of the day it's for His glory and that it's working together for good. And that's a sure comfort, isn't it?
It definitely is. And, you know, there are probably listeners who are hearing us right now, and they are struggling, and they are having difficulties, and they're having trials, and they're suffering. And we want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you to know that God has not abandoned you. If you're believing in Christ and you're holding on to Jesus Christ, God loves you, and He's going to bring you through this. And He's more than that, He's going to use this in some way. And you may not even understand how He's going to use this in this life, but His promise is sure that He will use this for your benefit and for His glory.
Now, that is only a particular perspective for the Christian, as you just outlined. Non-believers suffer too.
Exactly.
And the fact is, and this is what I think is the greatest tragedy, is that when a non-believer goes through these things, there's no hope. I remember seeing hearing about somebody who passed away in a hospital, and it was a group of bikers, and they were screaming at the person who had passed away, beating him, come back, angry that he had died. The point is, they had no hope, no perspective through the thing. Christians, on the other hand, recognize that all things are in the sovereign hand and control of God, and that all things are working to good, and that what the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient.
Right.
And through this. And so the health and wealth gospel is a lie at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Yeah. It's not the truth of what the Bible presents.
It's a mess of pottage.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, we wanted to take up this subject today to give us a good perspective on suffering. And we proclaim Christ and Him crucified every week. Wes, tell us a little bit about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we worship at 9:30 and 2 o'clock in Langley on 52nd Avenue. People can contact me if they would like more information. My phone number is 604-220-7718. 604-220-7718. People can also go to our website for more information, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, thank you for joining us again for another edition of Abounding Grace. We are thankful. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
So much to learn from God's Word, and well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. And we even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.